Well, good morning. Isn't it wonderful to be here this morning in God's presence and know of His grace and His love? And really enjoyed your talk, Russell. It was really, really powerful. And we really need to have our hearts stirred and our eyes to see the reality of the things that God is doing in our midst. Well, is everybody happy this morning? It's a great morning, isn't it? It's a good morning. It's a good morning because you woke up and you're breathing. Isn't that a good reason to be thankful this morning? And also, I just want to bring a little bit of information to you, something that as we go through the message, I trust that you'll tie in. But did you know that there is roughly 5 to 6 litres of blood surging through your body at this very moment? Something that we don't feel, that we're not conscious of, that we're not aware of. But when your heart pumps your blood, there's a rate of blood, about 3 feet of blood that flows through you every second. So in just 1 minute, there is 5 to 6 litres of blood that flows through your body, down to the tips of your toes and back up again. And you don't even think about it. We're not even aware of it. But we need to be, and we need to be thankful that that just doesn't happen. That is there because a great God created us and made it so. And without that blood pumping at that rate, we wouldn't get the oxygen that we need to be able to not only breathe and fill our lungs and service other organs in our body, but it also feeds our brain, the part of us that we think with, the part of us that stirs us to see and to know. So this morning, we need to be aware of God's grace and His power within us. Many of you went to see Reinhard Bonnke last night. I wasn't able to go. I was very disappointed. Would have loved to have seen him, but you really enjoyed it? Absolutely. I've been hearing some really good reports. Hayden came up straight away and said it was really, really great to go, and particularly a lot of the young people went, which was really good to see him. So there's lots of things happening. And we've seen on our television over the last couple of days the royal wedding. And there's been much talk about this wedding. And, you know, a lot of girls have been chatting away about it and, you know, discussing things about wedding dresses and things. But the thing is that it was a very big royal occasion. But the thing is that even as we marry, it is a royal occasion because we're children, daughters and sons of the King. And so there may not be quite the pomp and show of it all, but it's just as great and as exhilarating. And sometimes we look to things like that, something on a television program or something in the media or some star or some... But mind you, I have to say I love the royals. I'm a royalist. I'm not of the other sort. I think it's... I couldn't think of it at the moment. But I think they're great, and I love all of that. That's colour and the ceremony and all those things. But you see, our greatest focus is on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He has put all of these things into place. But I want to talk this morning about the power of electricity. When electricity was first introduced in Australia, there were many outback, and still there are certain places that struggle to get electricity and power. But there was one remote area out in Australia where it was very difficult to get electricity put through. And this lady worked very, very hard and paid a lot of money to finally get the electricity through to her property. And after it had been there for a month or so, the company noticed that there was very little electricity being used. And so they sent out a representative to check her meters and make sure that everything was working properly. And so when the meter man went out and checked it, he saw that everything was going okay. And he went into the lady and he said, "I notice you're not using much electricity. What's the problem? Is there a problem?" She said, "Oh, no, it's working fine." And he said, "Well, don't you use it?" She said, "Yes. Every evening as the sun goes down, we turn it on so that we can light our lanterns and then we turn it off again." You might laugh at that and we think that's funny. But it's not so funny. Many of us are like that. Many of us are like that. We go about our daily walk not being aware of not only this blood that's surging through our system to give us light, life, but this power that's within our system to give us life, to give us an abundant life, an overcoming life, a purposeful life. We come to church and we get excited and we sing. And even as we sang some of those songs this morning, rain in me, rain in all the world. Well, it should be rain in me. Is God raining in you this morning? Are you aware of this power that is surging through you at this great rate to be all that you need to be? We sometimes, as I said, we go to church and then during the week we face difficulties, because all of us face difficulties. But often the last thing that we do is call on this God that reigns in us, that we're not aware of his power and his purpose. You know, many times during the week I suddenly become aware of this power, this great God that is living within me. Just as I become aware of this blood that is circulating, and sometimes my bones start to seize up, and so therefore the circulation rate's not so good, and I'll rub my hands together as many of us do, or I'll move my toes, and when I get into bed I've got to rub my feet to get things circulating, and I start to pray that this blood, because it isn't that there isn't enough blood there, it's because it gets hindered by the gnarledness and the difficulties that take place in our body. And so it is with the power of God within us. It isn't that his power isn't there, it's because we don't allow him to surge within us and allow him to be released out into the things that he desires to do. God has created us perfectly. He went to great trouble to create us. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. I love that chorus. The same love that conquered the grave lives in me. Now we say that, we sing that, but do we really believe it? When we're standing here and we're surging, we're encouraged with one another and we feel that awesomeness, we believe that. But when we go from here and we face a struggle, when we face a disappointment, when we're aching and paining, when we feel unwell, do we still stand or do we sit and say, this same power lives in me? Because you know he does. He does. In Galatians it says, 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you realise that Christ is alive in you today? Right at this very minute? Right at this very minute. We've had the old put to death, and yet so often we try to live in the old. We get drawn back to the old way of thinking. There is power in Jesus and in his wondrous name to transform anyone, to heal, to restore, to make new, to make whole, to bring knowledge of salvation, to bring, as we've seen today, the word of truth. And sometimes, yes, it's awesome to put a Bible in someone's hand. But the most powerful thing is for us to speak that word, to live that word within our own lives. And that beautiful testimony of that man, you see, that is the power and the purpose of God, that God already had seen that man and had his name on his heart. That's why the Bible fell at his feet and opened where it needed to be, because inside that man, as inside of many today, they don't know how to cry out to God in actual fact, but inside there's a cry, help me. There is a need in every man, woman and child to be found, to be loved, to know the truth that will set them free. And we have that power living within us. One night, a young wife found a husband standing over the cradle of their newborn child. As she watched him looking down at this dear little one, their very first baby, she saw his face show a mixture of emotions: disbelief, doubt, delight, amazement, confusion. Touched by this unusual display of emotion, she went over and slipped her arm around him and said, "A penny for your thoughts." To her amazement, he replied, "I just can't see how anybody can make a cradle like that for just $65. Here lay the greatest miracle of God's creation, and all he could see was the cradle. He didn't see what lay within it. But he's not alone. Many do not see. And we often talk about the world and think, well, they don't see. But do you really see and know what lies within you? Are you aware of this awesome life that Christ has given you? As I said, I just feel like pinching myself some days. You know how it is that something awesome will happen in your life. You know, someone might give you money or give you something you've always wanted, or the man of your dreams asks you to marry him, or you graduate from school, or whatever. You find out you're pregnant with your first child and you feel you have to pinch yourself to believe it's true. Well, you see, I do that to believe it's true that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life that I might be called a daughter of the Son, of the Most High God, that I might be brought into his kingdom, that I might be filled with this awesome power of God to be able to live, and not just live in a dreary way, but to live in an overcoming life of power and victory. In Luke 17:21, Jesus said, "Indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." Do you know, do you live as if the kingdom of God is within you? The book of Ephesians speaks so much about the purposes of God, and Paul speaks about this unsearchable greatness, this mystery that has been revealed to us, the wonder of this living Christ that has come to empower us. Verse 19 tells us what this about this immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe. And Paul is emphasising the power of God in us. Of course, it's true to say that God gives us strength and power and that we need to call on him constantly. But Scripture seems to say that God's power resides within us. That's what I want us to understand today. I've come this morning to really stir. Last Sunday morning, our senior pastor brought a very powerful message, as he does. And at the end, he said, "God's this power that's raised Christ from the dead lives in me." And he said, if we could all get a hold of that, how our lives would be changed, how our families would be changed, how our community would be changed. And you see, I was thinking, we had visitors the other night, and I asked, did they want a cup of tea or coffee? And our friend said he'd have a cup of tea, and he asked for sugar. And I said to him, "Oh, that's too much." So I only gave him half. I know him very well. He's like a brother to us. So I only gave him half the sugar that he said he wanted. And so I took it over and he sipped it. And he said, "Oh, Pat, didn't you put any sugar in this?" And I said, "Yes, I did, but you have to stir it." And so he stirred it and then he tasted the sugar. You see, I've come this morning to stir you. To stir you, to show you what is laying dormant in your life, or it is alive, but we are not using that power. We won't taste the Lord, we won't feel the Lord, we won't experience the Lord unless we let him surge through us, unless we're conscious of that surging, just like this blood that flows through us. Isn't that amazing? You do ever stop and think about what's going on inside this physical body of yours? When you're eating, when you're doing things, or even as you're sleeping, this body, these organs, everything is still functioning perfectly in tune the way God created it to be, so that we could have life. And then the power of his Spirit is there to make that life in abundance, to give us the greatness and the fullness of life can be to us. We often think, "Oh, well, how can that be for me? I feel very weak. Things seem impossible." When we consider our frail bodies and we know that they are susceptible to illness, we can find it almost impossible to believe or imagine that we can enjoy this state of glory that Jesus Christ has come to give us. And then added to that, there is in this world all these influences that will try to drag us away. We know there's television, and we know, and I speak many times about sport, and all of these things are okay in their place. But how often do we know how to keep them in their place? How often do they overtake everything else. We need to be living a life that is void of distractions. We allow distractions to come into our life. You see, someone said to me the other day about the despondency and the brokenness of their life, and when I heard their story, they certainly did have a lot to deal with. But I said to them, you still have a choice. It doesn't matter where we are, what situation we're in, God has given us a choice. And we can choose, the Word of God says, life or death. We can choose to live an abundance, or we can choose to live in a negative sense. We can choose to have all of these things come upon us. As I've said before, that if we go through a problem and something's wrong with our leg, of course it hurts. It's painful. But it's our leg, not the Spirit of God within us. We still need to know that we are alive inside, and it is that same power that conquered the grave that lives in us will allow us to overcome. Now, it doesn't mean that we just might suddenly just jump up and walk, although God is a healing God, but we can still live with his grace in our lives. We can still live with his joy and this overcoming power. It's our choice. Paul tells us in Ephesians that we might, and prays that we might know this exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. And this is in verse 19. According to the work of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in the right hand of God in heavenly places. So this greatness of power that created us and now has seated us in this heavenly place. And Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God already knew us, and he's already prepared our lives for us. So we need to walk in that life in confidence, knowing that we don't walk a lonely path. We don't walk a strange path. We walk a prepared path. But we need to choose to know that. We choose to believe that and to walk that. In Philippians then it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun this good work in you will complete it. Are you confident of that today? That God has not only created you to the work, to the life, to the walk that you have, but that God is bringing completion to it, to every area of your life. The word used by Paul is translated, if we think of the word exceeding greatness of his power, if we look at it as being translated, it's surpassing. It's surpassing. God's power not only surpasses our power of expression, it surpasses our power of comprehension. For example, if we took all of the dictionaries in the world and we exhausted all the vocabularies, and when we've added them all together, it would not even begin to describe the greatness and the power of our God. So why? Those things are important. I still study. But why do we look to those things to find life? Why do we look to the newspaper to find out what's going on to make us feel happy, or to see what our football scores are to give us a kick? Those things are great and it's nice, but we need to go to them with that expression of joy and that heart that, okay, they lost, so what? It's a game. And yet so many have their lives ruled by those things. So many people, I hear them all the time, I'm going to win Tats Lotto this week, it's 26 million. What would you do with 26 million? I can't even imagine 26,000. So the thing is, they live with that, and then suddenly their ticket doesn't come in and they are totally despondent. Totally despondent. And then they get all caught up again for next week, how they're going to win it again next week. Paul wants us, as the Word of God teaches us, that we might know this exceeding greatness. He uses the term exceeding greatness, but they are not sufficient words to fully express what he is trying to tell us, the working of God's mighty power. A better word than working would be energy, for energy is a mighty force. It is a stronger word, and it gives the impression of something effective or valuable and successful. When I think of energy, I think of water. And we go and we look at water, we go to the beach, and we see the water, and it's just quietly rippling. And then the tide comes and the water starts to surge. And then if you go to the rocks, it becomes this raging inferno of water that splashes up. And you see, water will run through your fingers, and yet it has the power to hold an ocean liner. And it has the same power to destruct it if it is washed up against the rocks. It can smash, but it can be still and it can be gentle. And you see, God's love and his power is like that. It is gentle and sweet. The Spirit comes with a gentleness to be a comforter, but he also comes as a surging fire to bring us into warfare, to give us the power and strength to smash and to break down the things that would come and stand against us. Are you tapped into that power? Do you know that power today? Do you know this same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you? It takes strength, and that's the strength and the power of the Word of God. Many are facing many things, many difficulties. It's heartbreaking to have broken relationships. And I was thinking, as I was getting this message ready, of the story of the prodigal son. And I was thinking about that father that waited every day. He had the power of God to enable him to wait. In our own natural strength, we won't stand. We would do it some days, but not every day. It takes the power of God and the surge of the Spirit alive within us to cause us to pray. He didn't just wait, he prayed. To pray continuously. To pray without ceasing, to pray believing, to pray seeing the invisible become visible. That takes power. He was tapped into the power of God. Are you tapped into the power of God for your need today? For your brokenness, for your heartache, for your sickness, for your disappointment, for your financial struggles, whatever it is to you young people with your studies. I know it's not easy to study. I know what it's like, and I've had people say to me, oh, but it's easy for you. It's not easy. I have to discipline myself. There are times where I've got to say, Lord, make me willing. Lord, I call you, and it's as I then get in touch with his Spirit, as I pray, as I speak in tongues, then I'm able to go and receive what God wants to give me. It's not easy to shut yourself off in a room, but it's awesome when you get there. For when we allow ourselves to meet with Jesus, oh, the joy. And then we think, why did I struggle? When this is so beautiful to be found here in his presence. We've been given everything that we need. For our brother shared this morning, and it thrilled me, from Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And yes, to go out and witness and to preach and teach. But you see, as we go out and we witness, we read that and we think, oh, that just means I have to go out and speak to people about Christ, and that's a big enough challenge. But how do we go out? We need to go out empowered by this Spirit. We need to go out with this Spirit stirring within us, just as we need our blood stirring within us to help us to go out on a cold and a rainy night, or to go out in the blistering heat, or to go out when we'd rather be doing other things. And then we need to have the power of Christ, the power of the Spirit within us, to have that enthusiasm, to have that joy, to allow the Spirit to bring the word so that we're not always looking at something, but that we can look in their eyes and impart the word of truth to them. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, this power that has come upon us by Jesus Christ's death and resurrection and sending the Comforter to us. Witnessing is more than just giving someone a Bible or speaking and inviting people to church. People often are enthused and captivated by the expression of our joy, by our enthusiasm about our reality, about us being real before them and showing them how Christ is alive in me. If we live a poor, miserable life, how can that affect anybody's life? They think, goodness me, you go back to where you come from. That's no help. They want to see Christ alive within you. And then we know people throw all sorts of questions at us, don't they? We need the Spirit of God to stir those things within us, to give us the wisdom, to give us the words to speak. But that can only happen if we live in obedience and if we study the Word of God. Paul says to study, to show yourself approved. We need to have this Word hidden in our hearts so the Spirit of God can bring it to our recollection, so that we can speak with this mighty power. Whatever it is, whatever you find, wherever you find it, whenever it comes, whatever you call it, Christ has overcome it and placed it under his feet, so that as you stand in him, it's under yours. Whatever, whenever, wherever, however, no excuse. He has placed it under your feet. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit to not only know that, but to be able to accomplish that. Whatever it is that is holding you back today, the Lord has already conquered it for you. He's already gone ahead of you. He's already empowered you. If you're allowing yourself to be held and defeated by things, whatever it might be, whether it's drug abuse, substance, gambling, debt, anger, pain, sickness, whatever it is, you are being held back by a power weaker than the power within you. And yet so often that's a lie people believe. We don't stand and realise this great power within us to defeat all of those things and overcome. And you see, we don't defeat by taking 26 steps. The way we defeat is to call on that power and stand and say, I will be found in you this day, Lord. Your power in me is just as great as your power that raised you. I walk away from this thing. I separate myself from this thing. I stand in your overcoming power, and I will not be defeated. We are not called to experience victory without struggle. We are called, Jesus said, in the world there are many difficulties and trials, but I've overcome the world. The Lord knows that we face challenges in our life, but the Lord himself came through suffering, didn't he, to come to glory. And we know that Paul experienced beating and prison, stoning, shipwreck, betrayal and distress. We don't preach a romantic, airy-fairy gospel. The Word of God is true and it meets us right where we are. But he meets us to bring us over and above those things, to give us the way out, to show us the way out. Because none of these things could separate Paul from the love of Christ and these situations. And he found the love of Christ and his power in these situations. When Paul was in prison, he rejoiced and he praised God. He didn't find Christ apart from these things. He found him in them. He was more than a conqueror because of Christ's power and love that was at work within him. We need to be careful that we don't get in God's way, that we do not limit his working and his ultimate power and purpose within our lives. We need to have the power of his Spirit enlighten our eyes so that we might begin to understand the immeasurable greatness of this love and this power that he has given us to overcome all things, this mighty power that works within us. This morning I'm going to ask you to stand, and as I do, I'm going to ask the singers and musicians to come. And I want you in your heart before they play to stand. And if you really believe that this power is at work within you, to raise your hand and to say that with me. To say that, but don't say it, and no one's going to judge you. But you see, to bear a false witness before the Lord is deceptive to ourselves. But my prayer is this morning that you have been stirred, that you have been challenged to realise the power of this God that is ready to be flowing in you, to surge through your body, to give you that ability to know that you have this power to overcome not some things, but all things. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to this mighty power within us. Are you in touch with that mighty power today? You see, there are people here maybe that have not learned about that, that don't understand, that do not know what it means. You can be saved and know you have the Spirit of God within you, but do you understand what it means to have this Spirit released through you? So if there are people this morning who do not know Jesus Christ, please come. Don't go without meeting him today and knowing this new life that he has prepared for you. If there are those of you who have not understand the move of the Spirit within your life and do not have the heavenly language of speaking in tongues, that power surging through you, please come and receive that also. But this morning, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, his power is within you. And if we could stand and make that declaration this morning of saying, yes, Lord, I believe your power is within me, and then I will allow your power to outwork through me, not next week, today, to enable me to overcome. We've all come with many things. We all face disappointments. We all face struggles. There is not one of us that are exempt because we live in this world. But we are not of this world. He has come to overcome all of those things. And so while we may feel in the natural those things, in the spiritual we can overcome. And you see, I know it works. I know he works. That when I start to get into the heavenly presence, when I come in obedience and I spend time, and you see, to pray, we're talking about our prayer meetings. You know, we need to be a praying people. We need to be praying individually, but the power when we come together collectively to pray. When we have our prayer meetings, we should be, as my husband often says, verbally pushing one another out of the way to get in and pray. Why do we hold back? What is it that keeps us back from entering in? Because once we enter in, we feel that surge, that joy, that overcoming power. When I have my struggles and I go into prayer and then I speak in tongues, oh, it is just awesome. The Spirit of God surges within me so that the things of my body, the things of this earth, grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, in his resurrected power that is alive within me. Don't we all need that? Don't we all need to live in that today? If we're going to accomplish what the Lord has set us to do, we need that. Otherwise, we're a struggly bunch that just come together for a social gathering. The Lord needs to be revealed within us individually and within us collectively.